Today, as we celebrate this great solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we first have to recognize what our Lord is offering to us. It is his entire being. He's offering us his heart, and in offering his heart, he is giving himself. And we look at that and have to put it in a very practical way. What he is doing is looking at each one of us, or make it very personal, he's looking directly at you and saying, enter into my heart. But then he follows that up and says, allow me to enter into your heart. Let my heart enter your heart. Most of us probably wouldn't have too much trouble with the idea of trying to get into his heart. But to allow him to enter into our hearts, we would find ourselves completely unworthy. We would find that somehow as being beneath his dignity that he would do such a thing. And yet at the same time, we listen again to what St. Paul says, and he says, to me, the very least of the saints was given this grace to announce to the Gentiles the good tidings of the unfathomable riches of Christ. So he sees himself as the least, and yet this grace has been given to him to be able to tell us about the Sacred Heart of Jesus and pray that we would be filled with the very fullness of God, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Think about that we would be filled with the very fullness of God. Now, what that means, obviously, is that anything that's not of God has to be removed. So there are two ways of looking at it. One is that God dwells within us. If we're in the state of grace, we know that he dwells within us in his indwelling presence. But the other side of that is how much do we receive him? He's there in his fullness. But are we receiving his fullness? If we look back to that point of saying, open your heart to allow my heart into yours, he wants to give himself 100%. How much are you willing to receive? How much are you willing to allow yourself to be loved is really what it comes down to. Most of us are willing to open our hearts a fraction, maybe a tiny little bit. If we can get a crowbar in there somehow and pry it open a little bit, maybe then we can open it up just, you know, that little bit. So he's there in his absolute fullness, infinite fullness, and we're willing to allow this much. How tragic. That said, if that is what we are able to do, he will be perfectly pleased with that. Obviously, he wants us to continue to work to open it more and more and more, but if that's all that we can muster, he will accept that. But it's a matter of continuing to work to love him more and to allow him to love us more. That sounds like it's pretty easy, and it sounds pretty wonderful. And it is pretty wonderful, it is not easy. Because we have lots of stuff in our hearts that are not of God. All of our sins, all of our selfishness, all of our attachments, all these things that stand in the way. And those have to be removed. That's why he allows the various purifications that happen in our lives. But again, if you listen to what St. Paul talks about, he says, first of all, we have confident access. Well, he's talking about confident access into heaven, into eternal life. But in this context, he's saying we have confident access into the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And he prays that not only would we be strengthened through the power of the Holy Spirit and so on, but he says that we would be rooted and grounded in love so that we can comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and length and depth. You may know Christ's love which surpasses all knowledge. So this is the point. To be able to know Christ's love which surpasses all knowledge. And that we would know the height and length and depth and breadth. Remember, there is only one other place in the entire Bible where that is mentioned. It's in the book of Revelation, and it's talking about heaven, the holy city, where the height and length and depth and breadth were all identical. That's the Sacred Heart of Jesus. St. Paul didn't pray that we would know a little of the love of Jesus, that we would know his love which surpasses all knowledge. So he's praying that we would absolutely be filled to the fullness with the love of God, and to the point that we would know the height and length and depth and breadth. That is, that we would know the fullness of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. That's what he's praying for. And we're willing to open up a 16th of an inch and say, wow, look at that, I let him in. Well, again, praise God if that's all that we can do. But if we can do more than that, but we're just too afraid, or if we're too lazy, then we need to really work at opening the heart. It's that thing that can only happen simultaneously in the prayer life. It's a spiritual reality that something at the same time that you can enter into his heart and he can enter into yours. Physically, obviously, that can't happen. One thing can be inside of the other, but the other one can't be inside of the first. But spiritually, it can. Married people understand that. Your heart can be in your spouse, and your spouse's heart can be in yours. Jesus wants the same, and even more. And so if we can open our hearts to enter into his, and open our hearts to let him enter into ours. His heart is wide open. That was made clear in the gospel. It was pierced by the soldier. The blood and water flowed out. I always think about the fact that because that happened after he had died, there can be no healing of the wound. It is wide open for us. We have the water, we have the blood. Each one of us has been baptized. Each one of us has been able to receive him in Holy Communion, which is his heart, by the way, his entire person. So again, these are not concepts that, wait a minute, how do we get this? No. You just received him in Holy Communion. Open your heart and let him in. His heart's wide open to you to let you in. That's the exchange that he wants to work. And then as you are able to love more and more and more, then that heart opens more and more and more to the point that we would know the fullness of his love. Love that surpasses all knowledge because it is infinite. To know the height and length and depth and breadth. That's the prayer of St. Paul. And if we can do that here, then we are prepared for what we're going to do for all eternity. We're going to enter into the city where the length and height and depth and breadth are all the same. We are going to enter into the New Jerusalem where it is pure love. We are going to enter in with a heart that is absolutely open because all sin will be purified, all selfishness will be removed. Everything will be wide open to be able to receive what God wants to give and to be able to give ourselves to him. So why prolong it? Why look at it and say, well, but if I wait until purgatory, then all that can be purified out? True. But that's saying, I want to go to heaven, but it's okay if I wait for years and years and years. And not only that, but I want to go to heaven, but I only want to love a little bit when I get there. Because remember, the amount of love you have when you die is what you will have for the rest of eternity. This is the opportunity for your love to grow. This is the opportunity for your selfishness to be removed, for the merit to be able to grow, and for you to be able to receive our Lord completely. Yes, it will happen if you have to go to purgatory, but there's no merit and there's no growth in love. Do it now. And then you won't have to go to purgatory. So not only do you get there more quickly, but you get there with a greater ability to love and to receive his love. It's a win-win-win-win-win-win-win situation. The only thing we have to lose are our sins and our selfishness. Heck of a deal. Get rid of them. That's what it's all about. So let's turn to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and ask him to make our hearts like his, a heart that is wide open, a heart that is filled with love, perfect love, a heart that puts no barriers into the reception of the beloved. That's what his heart is. That's the way he wants our hearts to be as well.